Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. We are now several months into the Trump administration, and activists have scored some important victories in those months. Yet there's always more to be done, and for many people, the question of where to focus and how to help remains. In this series, we talk with organizers, agitators, and educators, not only about how to resist, but how to build a better world. I'm Sarah Jaffe, your host.
So my name is Ricardo. I'm a DACA recipient. I'm 26 years old. I was not eligible for the renewal for the next 2 years. So basically my DACA expires next year, which sort of puts like a ticking bomb over my head because I will potentially be losing my job within the next year, or I will not be able to legally find a job after I graduate from college, which I'm on my last year at Peru College. I'm 23rd, I think. Well, I'm a member of Make the Road of the Youth Power Project, but I'm not affiliated with the one in the office in Queens because the one is closer to me, but we have offices in Brooklyn and Staten Island. Yeah.
All right. So today we're talking on the deadline that Trump sort of arbitrarily chose for DACA renewal, and Make the Road and other folks are protesting this and calling for a Clean Dream Act. Can you tell me a little bit about the work that's been going on coming up to today and the ongoing demand for a passing of the Dream Act?
So nonprofits like Make the Road New York, they have we've had like our offices open since as soon as we found out that President Trump was rescinding DACA. So we've provided like a lot of information services for family members of DACA recipients, legal services. We were able to get also like scholarships so that we can make this the fee for the application accessible to as many DACA beneficiaries who are eligible to renew before, I guess, today actually do this and make it as easy as possible. But, I mean, not everyone was able to do it on time as we see that today it's already, it's a month, which went by really, really fast. And I know that a lot of people, not only like in New York, but in other states, they probably don't have access to all the same resources that we have, or they don't have access to the news to be able to stay up to date or be able to, get the $500, which is like a lot of money for someone to pay for a fee for a DACA, renewal. So I think, we were able to get a lot of people to come to our offices and then be able to receive all the help that they could get. And, but at the same time, like not everyone was able to do it. So right now, I guess our job is to make sure that not only we're going to take to the streets, but we're also kind of going to act more like a local and national level. We're going to take our actions to Congress, and we're going to push, you know, Congress members like Peter King of Long Island and Dan Donovan of Staten Island to sort of, vote, for Republicans to sort of like, who are going to be key votes on a clean Dream Act being passed. I guess what we're asking is that we do want, by saying we want a Clean Dream Act, is that we don't want any add-ons to it. We're like, we don't want to compromise the futures of our families so that we, that can get papers. Because, I mean, it goes against American values, where it's like, it doesn't seem fair that you will want us to stay if you were to pass a Dream Act, but then at the same time you want to separate us from our families. That doesn't seem reasonable, and it's also very inhumane if you want to sort of, I guess, profit from our, our contributions, which Donald Trump doesn't really want to acknowledge, but also you want to separate us from our parents and send them back to our country.
Yeah, and so in addition to the kind of add-ons and things that would, you know, heighten funding for deportations, there's also talk about a trade-off for the border wall. So I want you to talk about that and the connection of that or lack thereof to the Dream Act.
Yeah, so I guess Donald Trump said, I guess, to like Nancy Pelosi and Schumer that, you know, he will support, I guess, like a Dream Act if Congress is to come up with a decision, I guess. But also, like, he wants massive border security, and then also he still plans on building the wall, right? Because that was part of his message throughout his entire campaign. So basically, he wants to add on those things in exchange for supporting a Dream Act or a path to citizenship for dreamers like ourselves.
Right.
So this is very scary because, you know, for example, for someone like myself who lives in New York, like, I'm sure, like, I will be fine, but basically everyone who lives along those states by the border, they will be in constant fear of, like, being stopped by ICE agents or being separated from their families. So that's what we're asking for a change in, like, because we don't want to compromise the future of families on the south of the border, and for them to, like, be scared of, like, of driving their kids to school or being able to go, like, shopping and doing, like, regular daily life things, just because there will be, like, an increased amount of border security, ICE, and then a massive border wall, which is very unreasonable, and there's a lot, it's going to be billions of dollars, which we probably could put into different things, like helping those who have gone through, like, hurricanes and earthquakes that we've seen recently, you know, all over the world.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us about, you know, your experiences with DACA and all of that.
Well, I'm 26 years old. I was eligible for DACA, I guess, 4 years ago. Like, I'm on my third renewal. With DACA, I was able to get a New York State ID for the first time, which, I guess, besides being part of being Mexican, it also was being able to show that I'm a proud New Yorker whenever I was going to a different state. It also meant being able to travel to different states within the U.S. without having to live in that fear that at some point someone might call ICE agents on me while I was up here before. So that kind of sort of released, like, all that fear that I kind of grew up having, or that didn't really allow me to move around and being able to sort of, like, discover, I guess, all the states in the United States. It also mean able to finally be able to get a job legally, with better working conditions. Before that, I was working off the books, for a diner, for a job at a restaurant, which coincidentally was located in a Trump Soho building. It was a Japanese food restaurant, and it was, like, sort of like my second job with DACA. And then I worked there for 5 years. So I know, I guess, from personal experience that a lot of restaurants and hotels in New York City rely on the work of undocumented immigrants like myself who have DACA. So I think for Trump to want to, I guess, not acknowledge our contributions to this country is not only, like, upsetting, but it's also very dishonest, because we are, I guess, we're sort of like the backbone of this country, even though we're always at the back of the house and we're doing the jobs that not a lot of, I guess, native-born Americans want to do. And that's where we're very important, because we complete, I guess, we're, like, a big part of, like, the puzzle in this country. If you were to take us away, you will definitely see, like, negative impacts on our economy and on, I guess, on our diversity that we have, you know, as a country.
Yeah, excellent. And so what can people do to support DACA recipients and immigrants who are not DACA recipients, or people like you who were eligible but can't renew it again?
I guess sort of, like, get involved more with, like, local nonprofit organizations like Make the Road. We are always looking for people who want to help, who want to take to the streets. We have rallies, like, almost, like, every month since Trump was elected president. And it's important to, like, show their support so that we can feel accepted, because I think Trump right now is sending all these negative messages that he doesn't want us. Someone like myself, like, I'm 26, like, I can take, I guess, a lot. But at the same time, I know that, like, for a younger generation or, like, younger undocumented immigrants, this creates, like, a sense of that you don't belong here, or that family, this is where you get your job, this is where you go to college, this is where at the end of the day you contribute. So this is where you want to be, what you've proven with, like, with all your hard work, that this is what you want to call your home. And I guess Trump has been sending all these messages, and a lot of them will need, like, support, emotional support, financial support. Even though right now we were able to get a lot of people to sign up for the DACA renewals, there were so many others who will probably, after the 6 month period, I mean, it's already going to be 5 months, they will probably end up losing their jobs. They will probably have to go back into living in fear. So they will need probably support in case something, like, worse things were, you know? So I would say just like get involved with like a local organization like Make the Road. Yeah, so we have like we provide a lot of resources. We have a texting number where if you just text Road 52886, you will get updates on our rallies, on whether when we're doing actions like the one today in Staten Island. And we will definitely be taking the streets, but we will also be acting more on pushing Congress to pass a clean dream act that does not compromise, you know, the futures of our immigrant community as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and tell us a little bit about the actions that are happening today as we're talking at the offices of Pete King and Dan Donovan.
Yeah, so I guess we are considering today like a day of action where people kind of, I guess, have to choose what side they're on this issue. I mean, we are your co-workers, we are your friends, we're your family members. So I think that, you know, a lot of us are living in this fear that we have this ticking bombs or like this expiration date on our DACA. So I think we want people to sort of, like, I guess, show their support for the undocumented immigrant community in the neighborhood, because they also, they need to feel included, and they also need to support the Dream Act, because I mean, up till like September 5th when DACA was resigned, not a lot of people were talking about DACA. Like, no one really knew what DACA meant except for those who benefited from it. And I guess right now we just need to keep on talking about it. We need to keep pushing our Congress members to pass a Clean Dream Act, to support a Clean Dream Act that sort of helps the undocumented community feel included in the United States. So I guess today, like, we are asking people to call the Congress members to attend many of the events that are happening throughout New York City. For example, like the one in Staten Island, but I know also like the Teenage Dreamers are doing something at BMCC, where people will get to share their stories. So if people can also see the stories of undocumented youth, that will also be very important, because you will not know what it's like to be us until you put yourself in our shoes, where we've struggled a lot to get to where we are at today. Even this label of Dreamers, which kind of we, I guess, no longer want to be associated with, because it's, at the end of the day, we are the representation of our parents, who are the original Dreamers. And I guess people need to know that. And then I guess that's also part of the reason why we're asking for a clean Dream Act, where we deserve to be here, but also our parents deserve to be here. And we also, that's why we don't want to compromise the future, because we don't want to be separated from them, who are just as important as we are. Except that we, I guess, we are the representation of them, because they wanted us to get a better education. They wanted us to have better jobs, which we do have, but we wouldn't have been able to do that without the work from our parents. And I guess that's something that people don't really know in this narrative, that people think that our parents should be considered criminals because they broke the law, but they don't know what it's like to come from countries like Mexico, Venezuela, or Colombia, where there's like a lot of, you know, political struggle, and they don't know what it's like to live in these countries where you don't have access to resources, you don't have access to education, you don't feel safe, you don't feel there's the cartels. So people need to know that there's a reason why we came here, but now that we're here, this is what we consider our home, and this is where we want to be. Yeah. So we want people to, I guess, be supportive and show up to the event. Just because, you know, it shouldn't only be undocumented immigrants attending this event. It should be everyone who knows an undocumented immigrant.
So how can people keep up with you and with Make the Roads work?
So for Make the Road, yeah, you will text road, R-O-A-D, 52886. We have locations here in New York City, one in Queens, in Jackson Heights. We have one in Bushwood, and then they also have one in Staten Island. So just go to them, text the number, stay up to date on all these issues. I guess I'm Ricardo Waka. Like, I'm, if you find me on social media, like, you can easily find me if you Google me. I've kind of been doing this for a little bit over 2 years, and I'm always here to sort of help anyone that needs help, sort of like getting started or knowing what to do. I try to attend to as many rallies as possible can. And I'm always willing to I guess help allies get more involved or take that first step into becoming an activist or becoming an ally to the undocumented immigrant community.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe, with assistance from Laura Fayebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.